Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 575.
Chris
I
Jones.
Am Chris. You were close.
Ish.
Yeah, there was a five. There was fives in it.
So many fives.
About 700 off, but pretty close. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I love this season. Family coming together. Angels singing. Shepherds in their fields praising the birth of our Lord and Savior.
Can you mute him?
Shrek.
Jeff is here too, and he knows somebody that has seen it 2,000 times.
Yep.
Wait, how many times is that?
I don't know. Many times. I was just like, I couldn't believe that Shrek came up at Christmas. Like,
like outside of this group here.
Yeah, I was just like, she just said something like, I'll make some waffles in the morning. And she's like, do you know what that's from? I was like, I have no idea. She's like, it's from Shrek. And I was like, oh.
Like, really? Like, I'll make some waffles in the morning?
I guess that's a line from Shrek.
It's like such like an innocuous line.
I know. But I guess if you were raised on Shrek and that's like all you watched as a little kid, I don't know.
Maybe. Earl is here.
And may the Shrek be with you all. And before we get started, I think, you know, a very special 12 Days of Shrekmas, because there is actually a 12 Days of Shrek song. I'm not going to sing it all.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. I don't think Tony, I think it stepped away, and our buddy Walt joined our Xbox Live party to play Halo. And he joined it playing that song. Yeah. It's gone, like, all right, like 2021, the year of the Shrek. Like, we can kill it, right? In 7 days, it's over.
The year of our Lord.
No, you can't kill Shrek. He comes back. It's like Jesus. It's like on the third day, Shrek will rise again.
Oh, no.
Shrek is eternal. Shrek is now. It's past, present, future. Shrek is all seeing. Shrek is the Eye of Saruman.
Shrek. Nothing ever truly dies. It's just brought back 20 years later for a reboot.
This is the problem with fictional characters, Chris. You can't actually kill them.
This is true. I mean, Jeff, I assume you're referencing The Matrix there.
Yeah.
That it is
can't
actually,
let anything end. Nothing can end.
It's a straight up like line from it too, like where, you know, like we're bringing it back with or without your permission.
Oh yeah.
You can't kill, like, it's a fictional character, so it's like you can do whatever you want with it. So
never, nothing ever dies.
Never again. Never.
I'm going to be 60 years old watching Saw fucking 25.
Can't and wait.
Okay, I was
Matrix
surprised.
14.
I was surprised to see that they announced a new Saw movie. I would think after two reboots, you would think, okay, maybe we should give this a rest. But they're like, oh, no, prequel.
Did I miss this?
I missed this as well.
It's amazing.
Oh, yes, they're working on a Saw prequel. That apparently is during the... Because, again, you know, if you see in Saw, the main villain of the original Saw franchise is Jigsaw. Spoilers, Jigsaw dies by the third movie.
Yeah.
He's pretty much on death's door in the second movie, but he dies in the third one. And then he just kind of has a presence. So, like, he's only really active in the first movie. Well, the first two, because the second one's kind of a weird sequel thing. But yeah, they're like, yeah, we're going to do one at that. But I'm also like, you've done so much backstory and exposition and flashbacks. I don't even know what you need to cover in a prequel at this point.
And they already did the, like, so Jigsaw, which is what? Saw 8? Mm-hmm. Like, that one is like, it's half prequel, half like sequel, where it like covers a lot of the first big trap that Jigsaw did.
Following all this, Tony?
No.
To be
it's
fair,
a puzzle
people,
in my mind. A
to be fair, people,
puzzle.
People who. Oh, God. I should have seen that coming.
How about that last one? That spiral, another great great return to a franchise.
I liked Spiral, but
nothing in Spiral made me. Nothing in Spiral made me think this needed to be a Saw movie. Like, it's not even about the traps, which I don't mind. But I'm like, yeah, it's like it was just not.
Sure. Like, I mean, it was like at best tangentially related to the Saw.
They tried. They made a movie.
They did make a movie. Lots of people make movies. We don't watch them all.
Oh.
Yes, the year is ending.
Thank God.
You know what? I'm not going to say that because we were all like, thank God 2020 was ending.
That's right. Yeah. It can't possibly get any worse.
And did I don't know. Like, I mean, it didn't get much better. I'll say that.
Well, I would say 2021 was better for me than 2020. 2020 okay. was pure dread.
2020 was better for me personally. That's because I also that's people in 2020.
Yeah.
But yes, it's but I mean, honestly, I think part of it, and I think this was kind of, we talked about this last week, it's like we're kind of ending 2021 the same pace we started 2021, and to me that feels like at least 2020 had, like, that was the thing that was new and not exciting, but it was new.
There was hope.
There's no hope now. Maybe we were all wrong in trusting
the hope.
A late 70-year-old man to lift us up from the depths.
I had no hope for this.
My hope was that he was better than the last guy, which, to be fair, is true.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be better than the last guy. You would be better. Anyone would be better.
Like anything, a raccoon.
There's that was looming over all of 2020, like what was going to happen with that. I don't know. I'll take 2021 over 2020. Right.
It's like if you're having like a brain surgeon, your old brain surgeon was a monkey, and you replace the monkey with a toddler. Kind of how it feels.
I'll take it. Yeah. Wonderful. Love it. I can't wait to see what's next.
Maybe the toddler can respond to directions sometimes. You hope.
It was a pretty good year for entertainment, though, I think.
I think, comparatively, because there was entertainment this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff we would have seen in 2020 just got pushed into 2021. Yeah. Or it took, like, it literally, you couldn't finish it as quickly because of the situation. So
I got a new Halloween movie. I did not get that in 2020. Now, was it a good Halloween movie? No. Did I have fun? Yes, I did. Did I fucking shit my pants when Dr. Loomis showed up? Yes, I did. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm
comfortable for everybody in the theater.
Yeah. why does this rose smell now? What happened?
I lost my mind. And, you know, like, yeah, Halloween Kills is not, I would say, not a good movie, but I'd rank it pretty high in the franchise. I don't know what that says about the franchise. But
I mean, that says everything
about the franchise. Says a lot about the franchise. I mean, we love it despite its flaws.
Mm-hmm. And I got a new one. Hey, Michael was brutal. Very violent.
Got a
really great score to this one, you know?
And Evil died tonight.
Evil died. Like, I don't know, man. I really...
Stuff died. I don't know if Evil did, but...
Will not die because they stopped short of killing it
multiple times.
Yeah, what the fuck
they is beat that up that. They beat up that guy in the hospital real good.
Yeah,
which they also didn't do either. So,
which
that was
like,
funny.
It was not
weird.
Funny.
It was weird. Like, it's I like mean, this horrible death, and I don't know. I think I tried to fade it for laughs or something. I don't know. It's weird.
There was a new James Bond movie.
I have not seen that yet. I thought about renting it.
I thought it was a really good movie. Yeah, I think it's out now too.
Yeah, just like in general, right? It's just out there.
Yeah, it's out.
There's a new Spider-Man movie that people seem to really like that I won't be able to see until like March.
You know what? Like, you know, it's funny. I hate the Marvel movies, but I kind of dig Spider-Man. And like everything I've heard about this new one, it actually really makes me want to see it.
I really want
to
see it.
I hate to admit it. Like, I think the last Marvel movie I watched was Endgame. Like, I have been checked out of this fucking shit for a while, but, you know,
have you watched any of the TV shows?
Absolutely not, and I never will. But
okay, because somebody was talking to me about it this week, and I'm like, how did they release so much content this year? I'm like, because half of it was due last year.
Yeah, so, they were able to. They did what, like four series?
Yeah, and then like there was five movies this year. I mean, because people still count Venom, but there were four movies if you don't count Venom.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I would watch Venom too. That first one was goofy.
Oh, Venom's a ton of fun. I'd always recommend Venom.
You liked Venom too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a little less fun, but it still has like some of that same
like, current. I hate the Marvel movies so much, but that doesn't really count. And I don't think Spider-Man really counts, even though it's kinda...
Spider-Man definitely counts.
Spider-Man
kinda. Yeah.
I mean that like what the Iron Man has been in one.
Like Doctor Strange is like a huge part.
Yeah, he's
like,
big on this.
Nick Fury's in the ass one.
I think that the cool thing about this one is, I mean, I haven't seen it, but spoilers for anybody that's been complete blackout. It's like they brought back the other Spider-Men.
Yeah, and it sounds really neat. Like I've spoiled myself a little bit on it, but I was like, oh, that's cool. And I dig like even the shitty Amazing Spider-Mans. I kind of
I would take them
over Garfield. The Marvel movies, like the MCU. So I don't know.
Give me Emma Stone any day.
Yeah. You know those things. They had their good moments. Good things about them. What are we doing here? What are we talking about?
Just the year in general. Like, because I mean, unless you guys like really played anything new. Like, I had some stuff, and then I was like, I didn't even get to it. So,
I played Halo. Wait, we talked played about Halo. Halo the last like 2 weeks in a row.
You finished Halo, yes?
Jeff. I finished Halo. I played some of Death's Door because that was like one of those ones that was like, do I need to play this? So I bought it.
So did you need to play it?
Not sure yet. Like, at first I'm like, oh, this is really, really cool. And then there's things about it that I find annoying. Pretty quality for an indie title. Like, it's got a cool look to it. Decent music. Combat feels pretty good.
Earl, you played that earlier this year, right? Or did you touch it?
Girls left the building.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of a Capture the Flag match that's getting really intense. But yes, I have played it, and I did enjoy it. So, just one.
Play it?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't finished it. I've not finished. I will say, and that's going to be my project, hopefully, for the next few weeks, is looking up some single player games. Because I think I mentioned it before. Like, I am mostly like online multiplayer games I compare with people have kept my interest. More so than like single player games, and it's not that I don't enjoy them. It's just like if I wanted to do it as a social activity with people during all of this craziness. So,
yeah, and Halo's been very good for that. In fact, I think it's probably been the game that we've all played.
Yeah,
to get like all of us, because even Jeff has joined in and played. So,
I've
probably played more of it than some of you guys. I've played a lot of Halo.
You've played a lot of Halo.
I like it quite a bit. It's a really great game. I even did not hate the ending, unlike our friend Sean.
Okay, so Sean was playing.
Did he stop?
But he started complaining about like Halo putting you into arenas, and I'm like, Halo's an arena shooter, like it always has been.
Yeah, but it's weird because like most of the game is like this awesome open world thing, like, and then like when you head into the ending, it's like it feels like it's like a third of the game. It just keeps going, like, Our one friend Walter, he like beat it before any of us, and like he told me where the ending starts. I'm like, oh, I must be really close. Like I thought I was gonna be walking into the final boss. It's like, no, there was like 3 hours after that.
So I think that's like right where I'm at. Like I haven't started the end game piece yet. Like
it's long, dude. Like you know.
Yeah, and I just like I just want to finish up some of the open world stuff. Like you know, rescue all the Marines or, you know, hit all the high value targets or whatever.
It's, you know, you're near the end and yet also you are not. But also, you know, if you just want to do the ending, you can't, it does drop you into the open world after, like you go clean up.
So you can finish the stuff you didn't do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can finish the fight. But,
you know, to me, like the open world stuff was way more fun, but I didn't hate the ending. Does get pretty tough.
So, question for you. I don't know if you ended up with all of the like unlockables, like the armor cores or the Mjolnir armor.
No.
But like I've been finding that like even hitting all the I've now hit all the you know, forward operating bases. I've unlocked all of them. Yeah. It doesn't seem to unlock everything on the map. Like you'll get those markers. Like here's an armor core. Here's a armor box. But it's not all of them because like I'm still missing like a few out there and I'm like, where the hell are they? And I don't know how to bring them up on the map.
It's weird because I stumbled upon a propaganda tower that did not show up on my map.
And yeah, I almost always the propaganda towers I'm just stumbling upon.
But they do like you will see them on the map. So it's not like that's not a thing that. I don't know. It's a little weird. I don't know. I stopped caring after I filled up my hook, you know, my grapple shot and my shield. Like after that, I was like, oh, all right. And I headed into the end game, not realizing it was the end game. So like,
okay.
You know, by the time, like Walter told me I was in it, I was like, well, I'm in it now. Like I didn't, you know, didn't realize that this was the end, but it becomes clear. Like as you're going on, like, okay, this might be the ending. Like,
I'm totally with you on the other armor powers, by the way, Jeff. I don't use any of them. Just the grapple.
They're useless. They're not useless, but you really don't need them.
It's something they could really think about, though, for like a sequel where it's like, try to think of two or three other things that are as interesting as the grapple shot or, you know, as useful. And then.
So the one that I'm surprised that you don't get, and maybe they just couldn't think of an upgrade path for it, is the repulsor, which you get in multiplayer.
Yeah, it is weird.
And like that thing's like super useful in multiplayer because like you can reflect rockets or grenades with it, knock people off of ledges, smack people. Like you can be fighting them, hit them, get their shields down, and then use the repulsor and slam them into a wall to kill them. But it's not even in the single player game, I don't think.
Which is also powerful that is a good point. Single player. Which is also weird when you think about the fact that like. The armor lock ability exists already in the game, and that's very similar in terms of like deflecting grenades and shots.
And that's one you could probably figure out like an upgrade path for. Like weird. So Halo.
I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm enjoying continuing to play the multiplayer. I don't wish. I don't know how long these things usually take for like new maps and stuff. But
The game's technically only been out
for like a week or two.
Yeah, 2 weeks. We've just been playing it since you know early November, mid November. They need to get new maps out though. Like
Well, I mean, it's a double edged sword because part of the thing is like you want people to actually earn the maps so that they can do stuff. So you don't want a bunch of them, but yes, it's especially weird. It's a
little thin, I think, on the map.
Yeah, I think it's also weird because usually, I think since 3, they've always had like legacy maps, and I don't think this one does.
None yet. Like they've been adding like the legacy maps in. Like 5 got some legacy maps, and 4 also got some legacy maps, and Reach did as well, or reimagined maps.
Yeah. It's the same layout with a different aesthetic.
Yeah. But yeah, we like these are all brand new, which is great. Like new stuff, but you know, I've played on Streets and Aquarius and Live Fire and a lot. Like played on Live Fire.
Hey, I mean it did work in our advantage knowing it so well for that captured oddball game we played.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that one, that recharge. That one, that's like just knowing where you know, where to hole up and like where you can filter people in is super, super helpful. So I'm certainly not complaining about like the fact that we're learning these maps, and we had a very good night the last time we played. Granted, the next time we play, it'll probably be terrible, but that's just the ebb and flow of the game. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I liked it. Yeah, I'm loving it. I liked it. Loving it. I've made preliminary top 10 lists of my games for the year.
Oh, nice.
And
I'm assuming it's on it.
Yeah, it's on it. I don't see Death's Door creeping. I don't know. I'm like looking at it like, what would I be comfortable kicking off of this for Death's Door? I don't know.
So that's a good kind of topic there, Jeff. Like, you know, not our top tens, because I don't know if anybody else has even started making theirs. But
well,
yeah,
everyone, you keep like a short list, right? Like,
yeah,
I keep top 10, and then I put in every game I play. And as I like every game I finish, I just
yeah, wanted. You're ranking them as you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like you're playing Death's Door. You heard some things about it.
Yeah.
What games are you guys looking at over like the? Because we're not going to be doing our game of the year. You know, it won't be till like mid January, so we still got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Like what games are you guys looking to kind of touch on and see if they fit in?
Well, Death's Door was one for me. The only one really, I mean, that was the big one hanging off there from the middle of the year because it got compared to Zelda a lot.
Yeah.
And that was a big one for me. A smaller one is Riders Republic because I do enjoy like the extreme sports games, and you and Sean both seem to really like it.
Yeah.
Although you guys have both gone a little quiet on it. So
I will give you an honest reason on why I went quiet on it. I was approaching 300,000 achievement points, and that game has stupid achievement points, like sixes and twos.
Worse.
And so you want like, to hit it even, don't you?
I was like, I did not want to play that game and get achievements and throw my gamer score off, you know, because I wanted to hit 300,000 on the nose, which
that,
I did.
That is a reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stupid reason, but
video games, I don't think you need a good reason.
Oh, yeah, it's super dumb.
I don't know. What about you guys, though? Is there anything that you feel you haven't played, but you should in the remaining weeks?
I have four games on my list that I need to play. Hitman 3, which I still have only played the first level of. I love the Hitman. Give it more of a chance.
Tony, did you fall in a well?
Where is Tony? Oh, great. We killed him.
Did he fall in a well?
What happened?
You're just really quiet.
You're very high.
I don't know what happened.
There you are. That's better.
Okay. So Hitman 3, which okay. I only played the first level of.
Craziness.
I know. I love those games. I don't know
what happened. It came out in a dead time of year, too.
Yeah, except I think it just came out at the wrong time of year.
I think you were playing Apex Legends too much.
Yeah, maybe.
That doesn't sound like Tony.
right. Far Cry 6, which I have and haven't played at all yet. NBA 2K is a series that tends to hit my lists pretty often. I also have that and haven't played it yet. And the last one is a strategy game, which I know shocks you guys. Old World.
Which is
like a combo of Civilization and Crusader Kings, which are two of my favorite series, and has gotten a lot of praise in the strategy gaming community. And I don't know. I was waiting for it to go on sale. I've been waiting forever for it to go on sale, and it just hasn't. But it was like 10% off in the Epic Games sale. Plus, they have that stupid 10% or $10 off coupon you could use for anything. So all right, I'm finally pulling the trigger. So I have that one now.
It's only on Epic right now, right?
Yeah, it's the only place you can get it, which is crazy.
It's not coming to Steam until halfway through next year.
Yeah. But I mean, it's got a lot of praise from people I take really seriously, so gotta give that one a try. Probably. Nice.
I end up enjoying Hitman 3 quite a bit, but it is not on my list, and I don't think it's gonna be in my top 10 when it all comes down to it.
I don't know if anybody here, I don't think anybody here has beat it, but I have a friend singing this phrase, and it was up for the Game Awards, and I'm very curious about it. Inscription?
The card game, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard of it. I have not played it.
I think maybe I want to try Resident Evil Village at some point, but I also know that's not going to happen.
Why? You should play it.
I should, but I'm also I just know myself well enough to know. Like there are, like, I mean, at this point, if I don't already own it, there's a unless it somehow pops up on Game Pass in like the next month or so, it's gonna wait for Game Pass. I'm sure there's other games that I'm missing that I want to put some time into, to really. And then there's games I want to put time into, but like Ratchet and Clank, but I don't have a PS5.
Right.
Did
you guys end up getting Guardians, Tony?
Oh yes, I should also. Oh, yeah. I do own Guardians. I should pay that at some point.
That game is delightful.
Yes. Man,
need to put some time into that.
Maybe that's what I'll do tonight after this. I'll finish up Spider-Man Miles Morales. Because I want to finish up that before I started Guardians. Because I'm like, I don't want to own a bunch of Marvel games that I'm not actually playing. So.
Yeah, that one is on my hard drive. Hot Wheels is there now. I haven't played that yet. I don't know if that'll make my top 10, but... and I think that might Call of Duty. So I played the multiplayer. I've not played the single player. And I think that's it. I think like that might be it for me. I did miss Tony's Hitman videos. So
make some more of those.
Hopefully you play that, and I can watch you kill people. Yeah, it's like. Game of the year, it's coming up.
Resident Evil, in my opinion, is pretty awesome. Resident Evil, just throwing it out there.
I mean, it's likely to end up on my list somewhere.
It was one I like kind of forgot about, but then I started thinking about it, like thinking about like what my experience was playing that game, and it was just like I just remember liking it more and more as it went along. And it just kind of gives you a little bit of everything that you'd, you know.
And like it gives you a, you know, like there's like the Chris Redfield sequences that are kind of Call of Duty-ish. And then it has the survival horror stuff. It also leans into like the goofiness of Resident Evil. Like,
I mean, it's one that I'm almost ready for a replay now at this point. It's like no matter what type of Resident Evil you're like a fan of, it has a little bit of that in there. And if you're a fan of all of it, it's kind of like this awesome, I don't know, mashup of it all. Like, yeah. I really, I dug it. Yeah.
I don't know if we have like a best moment category or best like story reveal or something like that.
I mean, we do create the category.
Yeah, I don't know if we've had like best moment or something in the past, but there are some crazy stuff in there that we definitely need to talk about.
Yeah, now that I think about it, there was that one weird sequence in that house, right? Is that one of the things you're thinking of with the baby?
Yeah.
There's a really good.
There's a lot of goofy shit.
there's a good jump scare when you're looking out of a window and there's like, you're like, where did the werewolf go or something? This is how I remember it. And then he just like pops up from below, like he's like right outside the window, fucking scared the shit out of me.
There's good scares. There's good like weird wacky sequences, like the one you were just talking about, Jeff.
The turns and, it takes, the, like how it just becomes more of an action game. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. Like Tony is not a fan of Resident Evil, so I don't know if I'd be like, dude, you gotta play this. But it was definitely one of the better games this year, I thought.
Yeah.
And I think it's on sale right now, so we will see.
And I talked Earl into it.
Well, again, it's
on sale right now.
It's yes, everything is on sale right now. It is the best and worst of times. Because I was just talking to a friend today, and I'm like, I try my best not to buy anything after Thanksgiving, just in case. Even though I always tell people not to get me video games, because honestly, if it's something I want, I will probably already find or get a better deal than you would.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to get me something video game related, get me a controller or like something like that. Like, getting me games is... probably not.
Or like
that's juice of your
some,
money.
Some memorabilia or like a book.
Yeah.
Don't get me a game because I will take care of that on my own.
Right. Like my wife's gotten me like some cool like Ms. Pac-Man stuff and like, but it's not like an actual game. Like...
Yes. Everything adjacent to it, I'm fantastic yes. with. Get me an art of book. Get me a, I don't know, a shot glass, a mug, get me a poster. Fine. Just don't get me the actual game.
Yeah. Well, I think the other, like, people would be terrified. Like, people are terrified of getting me that stuff. Like, does he have it? I don't know what he has. What's
yeah,
it?
Like, yeah.
They're just intimidated. I'm going to get the wrong thing. He's going to be offended.
Yes. And I mean, something, I got some Christmas gifts. I posted them on Twitter from friends. And, like, one of them was a, it was like a Ninja Turtle Tumblr, which I really enjoy. But I knew something was up because like my friend asked me like one day, like, who's your favorite Ninja Turtle? And tried to dress it up as like asking for like another reason. But I'm like, yeah, I kind of, like, you don't randomly ask somebody that without some intent of trying to figure out information. And
I don't know.
What is
popular,
your favorite
popular
Ninja
topic
Turtle
of
role?
Conversation? Yeah.
It is not, it's a topic of conversation, but it's not something you randomly ask somebody at the start of the day.
It was like, during recess in 1990, it was a huge. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, a good conversation did come out of that because, like, it's one of those things. Like, I feel there's a certain demographic that is not into Ninja Turtles, and I mean, there's the people beforehand who were too old for it, but I think there's people who are, I guess, now turning like 30, like 30-ish, like 29, 30, 31, because Ninja Turtles was just kind of being phased out, before it kind of had the first resurgence. Because like now, kids nowadays know Ninja Turtles because of the Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yeah, but there's probably like a gap.
Yeah, there's a gap between people who just had no... Like, you know, the show ended in like 96, but I think even most people who are fans of it stopped watching long before that happened. And then we don't talk about Next Mutation. But yeah, it was fascinating to learn because I asked several other people around the same age group, and it's kind of the same thing where they don't really have a fondness or think about their favorite Ninja Turtles, where I think if you ask people of our ilk, like, I mean, most people have a favorite Ninja Turtle, either from the animated series or I think a lot of people have it from video games, because I'm just always under the assumption that if anybody's favorite Ninja Turtle is Don, it's because they played the game in the wrong reach.
Yeah. I was just thinking that. Like, I think at very first, like before the video games or whatever, I think it was like, and because of how old I was, it was Michelangelo, because he was like the hey dude, like, you know. But I think Donatello grew on me because of that fucking reach he's got with his, what is that called, a bow or whatever.
Yeah, his bow staff.
Yeah.
Oh no, and like, I mean, Mikey has and will always be my favorite. It is. Also, the reason my favorite color is orange, and people get a, you know, laugh. Yes, I picked my favorite color when I was like 5, and it has stayed that way ever since, and it's because of my favorite Ninja Turtle.
You'd be proud, Earl. I tried putting the first movie on as a Christmas movie this week. It did not pass. It did not happen. Also, it has nothing to do with Christmas, I don't think.
I was about to say, it has nothing to do with Christmas.
I don't know, I just felt in the spirit of the, you know, hey, let's watch this fun thing for when we're kids.
I will say, like, today, I mean, before this podcast, and I'm going to go back to it after the podcast is over, I'm beating myself up for never thinking about this before, but I'm just doing a bunch of, like, comic book Christmas episodes, and I'm like, why has this never been a thing I've done before? It is fantastic, and I will watch. There is a Ninja Turtles Christmas special, but it's live action called "We Wish You a Turtle Christmas."
Well, I've seen that one.
It is not good, but
no.
I will watch that because it's on YouTube usually, and it's like, honestly, the only reason I watch it as much as I do, which is once a year, is because it is like 22 minutes. If it was like an actual long special, that would not track. But I
could sing, don't they?
Yes, they do. It has one of my favorite. I think I posted it in the chat.
Yeah,
we're talking about wrapping gifts. Is the wrap.
Yes.
And then there's like the 12 days of Turtle Christmas, and yeah, it's a lot of goofy songs.
I do think that first movie though, it's pretty good.
Oh, I'm a fan of the first two movies.
It's kind of hard for me to like judge it, right? Because it just, when it came out, it was like, oh, this is amazing. But I don't know. Like that fucking, I want to go live in that warehouse where they got the cigarettes and the skateboards and the fucking arcade games. Like that shit was awesome. I don't know. I need to watch it. I know I did watch it like a couple years ago, but I remember that first one is pretty fucking cool.
We got two for Michelangelo. Tony, sure, your
Michelangelo.
Favorite.
I mean, Donatello's a huge nerd. I can respect that. I remember Raphael being a dick.
Wasn't Raphael? Just thinking he's moody.
My favorite, but he is a moody dick. So three for Mikey. I'm the only one for Raph. I like the moody dicks. nobody for Leo and nobody for Donnie.
He'd be number two.
I put Raphael lowest because he's got those stupid.
I like the size. They're like really cool looking. They are the worst. That like they playing as him in the video game
is sucks.
So fucking terrible. Yeah.
It's like this little thing that's twirling around your wrists. Like,
I prefer to use Don or Leo in the games because they have longer reach.
Hey, 2022, you get a new Ninja Turtles game, Earl. It's already looking up.
Shredder's Revenge, right?
You know what? I'm not counting the chicken until it comes home. Because they promised that to me in February of this year.
Yeah,
that
it's coming so weird. Yeah, it's
coming summer of this year. Then it was not coming summer. It was like later, and now it's sometime next year.
That feels like a game that should have like a 6 month like development cycle. Like, not like a crazy.
Not even a development cycle, but I think it's not a type of game you needed to announce ahead of time.
Yeah.
That's one
you could just shadow drop. Be like, hey, here's a new Ninja Turtles game. That's cool, right? Yes, it is.
I remember just thinking like every event, like, okay, it's going to be shadow drop this event. Because again, they said it was coming soon. So I anticipated it was coming soon. I didn't think they would lie to me.
Well, let's just take it as they delayed it like Halo Infinite was delayed, and look at how that turned out. So,
I do think if Halo Infinite had another year of development, it'd be pretty rad. Even more.
I still feel that like we're gonna see different biomes there. We're gonna have like mini campaigns. Going forward, we'll see. I also don't know how the story ends, so I don't know. Like it leaves an opening for that, but
I couldn't help you there. But I don't know. I think the thing that we got is really good. You know, again, it's on my list. I do think like that. I just, you know, it's weird. It's a weird thing because it's like, you know, that there's gonna be more maps to come. That's standard for multiplayer shooter, but it's just weird that like a main thing like the co-op is not coming for like 6 months. Like what the hell? That's kind of
yeah.
I'm still kind of curious how co-op works. I mean, I'm sure it will work. It just seems so... I don't want to say... What am I trying to say?
I didn't miss it, to be honest. I thought it was a good single-player game.
I think I get where you're coming from, Rolo. Because like with the open world, like
yeah,
it's a weird structure.
And like, how does ammo work? Because like right now, like ammo is just like those boxes, which does have limited uses. Like, is it just going to be like one person gets ammo?
Yeah, maybe that it's actually a good point. Maybe that is why it was, you know, delayed. They're still trying to figure out how to balance it and allow it to work, because like if I go to one of the waypoints to start a mission, like does it warp you all there? So like it's an open world, you could be anywhere on the map.
Yeah,
I don't know, they figured it out for like Borderlands, like
well they didn't because like that's also very much like you have to wait for everybody to group up to be in a mission.
Yeah, and like early in the game, like it can take you, like, I mean, you can move across the map in Halo pretty quickly, but like if it's like, oh, like if you're not going to have like a warp thing where I can warp to you, you could be waiting a little bit to do the next story mission. It's until you get enough valor to open up like the Wasp? Like the little helicopter thing. You're walking everywhere almost. So there's that. I played and finished Cruise and Blast, which Jeff has talked about previously. That game's fun.
Yeah.
I can drive a shark.
I saw the unicorn
video. Now. It's so stupid.
I'm so sad I can't sell Melissa on that damn thing. Like, I don't know.
But she would rather play Mario Kart as opposed to...
I got her Mario Kart for Christmas.
I mean, I love Mario Kart. Like, it's great. But, yeah, like, this game is so stupid.
I did get to play the actual arcade version of it, too.
I didn't realize like that was that the arcade version came out like 4 years ago.
It's an old game. Yeah. I think there's you can play the arcade, which is like five stages or something.
Yeah, like that. And they're slightly different from the ones that are in the
You've checked that out then, Chris, because there's a whole new set of keys in that.
Yep. Yeah, each of those have five different keys as well, or three different keys per track. So there's 15 extra keys there. I was surprised. I didn't realize they would all be point to point races. I thought some of them would be like laps, but they're all like you start at one end, you end at another end.
I like that,
which is fun.
I do like that.
Some of them are like it's like, oh, like 2 minutes. Like when you start off, it's like 2 minutes is the best score.
Yeah, the third race of every cup is like 50 seconds.
Yeah, like I was coming up on one, I was like, shit, we're done. Like I had
very short.
Like I was like in fourth place at that point. Like I was able to get like maybe in the third or second.
Yeah, don't save the nitrous on those short ones, man. Fucking.
You just gotta go.
Once you're 30 seconds in, just start fucking hitting it. Like.
Yeah, because like every other one is like, you know, it's. There's a pace to those races where it's like you start out in 10th, you'll slowly move up. About halfway through, you'll be in about, you know, 6th or 7th, and then over the last half of the race, like you quickly like catch up to everybody. But then you need to use your boost to like overtake the final two or three people. It's fun though.
I really love. I mean, I love the whole vibe of that game. Like, just it's very arcade racer, right?
Yeah.
The level design, God, like it just like ramps up in that 2 minutes, like insanely. It'll be like, now there's an earthquake and a bridge collapses, and then you fall like 1,000 feet, and then you crash through a fucking block of ice, and then you're falling in. Like, it's just like, and then there's dinosaurs, and then there's like a Yeti. It's like. I really love how insane and over the top those tracks are. And I do love that it's point A to point B. I like that way more than laps.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, Well, I mean, once you get through everything, then it's like, you just know, like, you have to get it by like a minute 30.
Yeah.
At the longest, like, you have to get into first place. There is no room for error at all.
It's such a fun arcade racer. I wish, like, I want to get other people into it more. It's neat that supposedly they're thinking about online, which would help a little bit with it. If there was new content for that game, like new tracks, I would buy it. I liked that game enough that I would buy new tracks for it.
The only thing that I was like a little disappointed by was like they have like this upgrade path, like you're leveling up your cars. And yeah, they're absolutely nothing. Like, I guess it's not a waste of the money you're getting, but like it doesn't improve your car at all.
Yeah. I never really got past like upgrading the cars once or twice, and I don't know.
It's like I added the engine onto the one car I was using, and like nothing, like, it made the car ugly is what it did.
I assumed that it did do something, but you brought that up. I was like, I don't know. I guess the cars do have stats. You can look at that, and yeah, so.
It's that
really you get to add neon lights. You know, that's like the first thing is the neon.
Oh yeah, and that's the cheapest one. So it's like, yes, do that. Yeah. You can add neon to the shark, or the dinosaur, or the unicorn. It's really dumb.
Getting those cars gives you something to like kind of pick at the game after you know you could beat that game in a day, no problem.
Oh
like,
yeah, it's not long at all.
But you know it. I still poke at the game a little bit because I'm trying to get those keys because I want to get every car. I have, like, you know, I have the shark, I have the unicorn, like, pretty cool lineup already, but just knowing that there's three more out there for me to get.
There's, like, a tank, like, that's the, if you want, you need all the keys to get it. There's a tank, you can drive a tank.
Cool. Yeah, it's a fun, like, if you like arcade racers. I mean, it's going to be on my list. I'll just say that for sure. I don't know. Lots of really good racers this year.
A great menu song, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go cruising.
It's like so bad, but it's like in the good way. And then like the do-do-do-do-do. Like the little like the little electronic like keyboard type thing going on in the background. It's amazing.
Great game. Tony, you should get it. You should become a racing fan.
Sure.
Hey, Tony did become a racing fan this year.
I did.
He played some Forza.
I did.
I don't know. People seem to have fallen off on that too. I need to get back to that.
I have not.
Other games came out and
yeah.
Honestly, it's not that much better than its predecessor.
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's already starting from a really high bar.
It's not like I played like 60 hours of its predecessor right before playing this one.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this isn't like that different.
That is kind of it just takes a lot of what 4 did and just kind of blows it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Did 4 have the adventure like path thing that's going on in 5 where it's like you're doing like these missions and then the big mission at the end is like a 15 minute race.
That is like the big thing that 5 adds, and I like that a lot.
Right? I do, like, yeah. I was gonna say I'm digging that. It's giving me a feel for how close I am to quote unquote beating the game, which is very close now. Halo, I've gone back. I am playing Forza again. So
yeah, I mean, I still have it there. I want to poke at that and Riders Republic. So I think I'm pretty close in Riders Republic. I have a lot to go in Forza.
In Forza, I think I just have to do the two of the big, you know, 15 minute races, and I'm done. And I have those unlocked, and so it's just a matter of me driving to that point and doing those last two races, and then I'm quote unquote done. I have not gotten my last barn find though. It won't pop. Like, I don't know like what I have to do to trigger that to go.
I mean, it could just be time related. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, and I still don't know this for sure. I think that Walter said he was finding them just by accident. So it's possible I could just look up just where it is.
You can just drive up on them. Yeah. You can just drive up.
But yeah, I'm pretty close to done with that game. That game is, I mean, I get what Tony's saying, but you know, for me, it's been 2 years or whatever since playing. Four was not last year, right?
No, I think four was 2016. It's 2017.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while. Again, and the other thing is, 3 and 4 already set such a super high bar, anyways, that it doesn't really need to be a ton better. Like
three years ago, well, four was 2018.
Yeah. So. Okay. Anyways, four's a definite game of the year material.
Like in this one Discord, they're doing like a Discord game of the year, like where everybody can, you know, vote. You seed it 1, 2, 3, your top three games, and they'll, I guess, like 10 points for first, 5 points for your second, and 1 point for your third. And like Forza is showing up on a lot of those votes. So,
I mean, it's a great game. Not to get too much into this, but like it's like a shoe-in for best graphics. Like, I don't know,
visually stunning. Yeah,
not Microsoft Flight Sim.
No.
Like Flight Sim is great, but like when I think I showed some of you guys, like once you get down on the ground, like like the textures just aren't there. Everything is very flat. Buildings aren't like they look like cardboard cutouts. It looks great from the air though. Like that game is a phenomenal looking title.
And you know, technically impressive with what it's doing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Forza is just like
real time map and Forza is just high fidelity across the board. Let's see. Think that is. Do you guys play anything else besides Halo?
Well, I play Crew Infinite like you did, because I double dipped and it was $20 digitally, so I picked up the digital version and I'm gonna donate my physical copy to somebody for Christmas.
Nice.
One of my nephews will, and nephews and nieces will enjoy it, I'm sure. I am really bad at it. I mean, not bad. Like, I finish races, I come in like the top 3 to 4, but like I actually getting it down, so I'm like consistently first. I mean, one, I think there's an extreme sense of rubber banding. Like almost every race I finish is like 0.3 seconds apart. So
yeah, there's no getting in front of it's always going to be super close.
Yes, I earned that the hard way, because I was like. Because I played, I'm like, okay, I did well. I got first at first. And I played again, and I did better time-wise. But the computer ended up ahead of me, and it's like, they kind of adjust to you after a while. So, like, it's always going to be close to neck and neck. But I was just saying before we, while you two were talking, and I'm like, I'm getting the hang of it now. It seems like really what you want to do is, like, you always want to either be drifting, turboing, or finding those boost pads. Or, I mean, if you can do it. And this speaks to me, because I'm a huge Burnout Paradise fan. Are the takedowns when you slow-mo and you just wreck a... No, it seems like it's a quick takedown and the car's right back into the race. Like, it's not like they're out for a while.
No, it's like I've taken one down and then like 3 seconds later, they're passing by me again.
Yeah. Like, you get this whole dramatic slow-mo. I will also say it's not the best second game in the world, but I do like that they have like that weird kind of plasticky sheen over stuff.
Yes,
that makes it work so well. Like it gives it a very fun and different feel. And like you and Jeff were saying, and it, you know, like it's cheating, but I love the set pieces where you're like, oh man, I'm gonna get somewhere. It's like, oh no, this bridge is collapsing underneath me. Oh no, this alligator is about to eat me, and it always misses. I mean, partially because it's intended to. It is great to see that stuff in there.
It's a theme park ride.
Yes, that is a good way to describe it. And especially being that they do it in a way that, like you said, it's one lap. So you're not like doing it where it's like, oh, it's going to happen again and again. It's like, no, it happens once per stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're moving on because, what is it? Is it Sonic? What is that? Sonic All-Star Transform, where they would do stuff like that. And you'd go around the app and it's like, oh, it's still there, but it's like it's not as fun because you're already seeing the bridge crumble in front of you and stuff like that. So
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yes, and the reason I picked it up is that I thought it would be a fun game, and it is working that way. A fun game to kind of like when you kind of want to, you know, like sometimes you want to play something, but you don't want to really invest in a ton of time and effort, or it's like, you know, like dinner's almost done, so you just want to throw something on real quick. And it seems like that's the the races, like you said, are under 2 minutes. So an entire course is like maybe 10 minutes, if that. So you could do that, get a bronze, silver, and gold, and make some progress. Or what I was doing while I was here with you folks, I mean, I did some tracks, is I did the time trials, and that's the easy way to get the keys because you can just go at your own leisure and just pick them up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because, I mean, as long as you get it, you don't even have to finish the race, you will get it for that race, and it's much easier because there's no way to actually, like, I'm sure you've had this happen to you where you go through a race and you see it in passing, and it's like, there's no way to back up after that point, but it's like, okay, make a note.
Restart.
Yeah, but
I've done that.
Yeah, I've made notes of like, all right, it's like right, it's like the there's one right around the first turn. I got to be against the wall when I hit that first turn, so I can hit the box and get it.
I have played it multiplayer once on Thanksgiving. My sister came over. And I played it with my nephew, who loved it.
Nice.
So there you go. The 7-year-old crowd thought this game was really cool.
And it does four player split screen, right?
Just two.
I think it does four. It's four players.
Or maybe I'm thinking of Hot Wheels. One of them is only two.
Wait, I have the physical card here. I can just check, but I'm pretty sure it's four players. Because there's no online, so it has to be four players.
Yeah, I think I hit multiplayer, and it was like...
Yeah, it's four players.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it. I had remembered Jeff said there was no online, but then it like had multiplayer, and then it had local play. And I guess local play is if somebody else has a Switch.
Yeah,
probably. And so it's like that, like over the same network. Really weird. Speaking of Hot Wheels, I bought like that. It's on sale, but I bought that Ultimate Edition that has everything. There's like a Batman expansion for it. Yes. Like, it's really cool.
Oh man.
Yeah, like and like that shit's expensive too, Jay. Like it's like a Batman track and like three or four cars. It's like $15. I guess it's not that expensive, but considering I spent less than $60 on everything I get, season one car pack and the season two car pack, I feel pretty good about that purchase.
That game is fun, and I feel like that's the game I've shortchanged the most this year. Like, I just have not played it enough, but it's awesome. Like, that's another one. Finding the multiplayer in that is confusing. I remember it was weird. That one, I can't remember if that has online or not. I think it does, but to figure out how to play local multiplayer was confusing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does have online, because like you can also upload your tracks and have other people play them. So, anyway, it's our last episode of this year, because when we record and put stuff up, the next episode won't go up until January 1st. It's Hall of Fame time. We need to close out our 2021 class of Hall of Fame entrants.
BRB.
Okay. Jeff's like, oh, I need to pick a game. I'll see you guys there.
I didn't, I'll be back did not in 20 minutes. Read Chris's notes today.
Or for the past month.
Yeah. But I will, I guess I'll recap what went in this year. And I will. So, you know, Tony's been telling me now for 18 months to put it on the damn website. I will do that in 2022, I promise.
It's just your New Year's resolution. It's the only one he's got.
Yeah, I will get the Hall of Fame up there. I'm also working on, like, acquiring. I have most of these games physically. I'm trying to acquire the other ones, and I'm going to put them on the wall. So we'll actually have a hallway. Be the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's cool.
We'll see. Not promising that one, but I will get the games up on the website. But yeah, I want to get them up on, like, here's our Video Game Hall of Fame. So class of 2021, Resident Evil was our March Madness tournament winner.
Boo!
Which Tony's still excited for.
Totally excited.
We'll be doing we'll modify the rules maybe on how we do March Madness, but we'll be doing another March Madness entry next year. So Resident Evil, Star Wars TIE Fighter, Streets of Rage 2. The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, Mario Golf Advance Tour, and Chrono Trigger. And then our trivia contest winner, Batman Arkham Asylum. Those are the ones that went in this year. Is Jeff back?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right. Well, who wants to kick us off with their nominee? I can go first if you guys are not ready.
Go before ready. Jeff. I think the rest of all of us are ready except Jeff. I'm pretty sure that's
the case. I'm ready. I just had to look up the year.
Here, so I had a different game completely in mind originally, and then Tony kind of reminded us that we said that we could, you know, it was 2006 and back, so 15 years space, which does open up some 360 games here.
Oh, nice. Shrek is finally going to get his due.
No. No. And no. Not unless you nominated her. I think I knew exactly what Tony was saying that he thought would be my entry, and yes. I think it is quite deserving of fitting here. It has impacted game design over the last 15 years, definitely. And that's LA Gears Noir, of War. Not LA Noir. not eligible yet. no, Gears of War.
That's a really good one. I have always held that, I think of that generation, it is probably third to Wii Sports and Call of Duty Modern Warfare as being the most influential game of that generation.
So yeah, that is my choice here for
cover shooting, chainsaw mechanics.
I think it's one of the games that really kind of cemented co-op stories as an actual thing. I was playing recently, Resident Evil 5 with a friend, and it's just talking about how this is after Gears of War and it still doesn't do stuff as well as Gears of War. Like, Gears of War has that co-op, and there will be segments where it will split off the two people, and you have to cover each other. Yeah. And it's like that's really like co-op games where there's an element of you have to work together and you have to look out for each other. And if one fails, you both fail. And I know it's not always a thing in games where it's like a lot of games, you are the lone wolf, you are the badass, and Gears of War is like, no, you are a team and you're gonna work together or you're gonna fail together.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Kind of a generation defining game the way Halo was for the original Xbox.
Yeah,
I think that Gears kind of was that 360. I mean, obviously you had Halo 3 on 360 and stuff, but
and I would say Modern Warfare is the next year, which would take it off. But yes, I think, and again, I'm still mad that most games have not copied Active Reload because I think it's a fun. I mean, especially with so many shooters, it's a fun little mini game.
Feels right.
Yeah,
just feels good.
Something you do constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way to make it engaging instead of it's better than having this long animation in case you don't do it. And again, I think there were games before, but I think in terms of having a cover system that actually really, really works, I don't think I still don't think there's many games to compare.
No, and I think especially the one we're entering here into the Hall of Fame, I think the level design, the arena design is so good for that. Whereas in 2 and 3, sometimes it gets a little little funky as they try to add too much, but I think it was kind of balanced perfectly. The weapons are fun. Who cares much about the story? Like, I enjoy the story of Gears, but it's not really a big deal.
Yeah, the story of Gears is, I think Gears understands what it wants to be, and that's fine. Exactly. I think the only time it kind of crosses the line is when it wants to be melodramatic with Mad World in Part 3, and if you know, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a bit much. But again, that's not the game we're talking about. So that.
Yes. I mean, like, Coltrane is, he's an action star on steroids. I mean, granted, they're all on steroids.
Yes.
I think that was one of the big things that Gears, it's like, the character design is monstrous. Even for the human characters.
And it's for me personally, like, it was the reason I bought a 360. And yeah, I think it fits real well. It's one I've played multiple times over the past 15 years.
Yeah, it's actually, I played it, I think, last year at the start of this pandemic, which is insane to think about now. what is it, Ultimate Edition or whatever the remake was called.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it holds up really well. Like, for some reason, I remember General Ram being much harder, but
I think he was balanced a little bit better in the Ultimate Edition.
Okay,
he was brutal in the original game.
So yes. I have fun memory of buying Gears of War. At least I think if it wasn't Gears of War, it was Gears of War 2. But I think it was Gears of War.
Midnight launch, Jeff, or something?
No. Like that. So I had, like, no actual hype for it. But then it came out, and it was getting, like, really good reviews and everything. And you get that, like, oh, I'm missing out feeling or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was, like, fucking high as shit or something. And it was, like, the middle of the night, and I went to 7-Eleven to get fucking snacks. And at the time, 7-Eleven would sell video games.
Yes.
Like, you guys remember that brief period?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a fucking impulse buy at 7-Eleven at like fucking 2 in the morning, all fucking high and shit. And then taking that home and then playing that and being like, whoa, this is fucking awesome. Like, I want to say it was the first one because I know it was one of the Gears of Wars, but I think it was the first one. Because I kind of remember being like, "Hey, we'll give it a shot. You're all fucked up. Let's put this on the credit card and see what's up here." And actually being like, "Oh wow, I can kind of see why everyone's super into this."
Now, I think in the future there may be additional Gears of Wars coming because there are things that it also that sequels add to the formula.
But there are several. We have these two chances until any other ones.
Yes,
are other.
There's a and I'll probably back off for quite a bit on it, but
yeah.
I think this one is very fitting. It definitely, you know, inspired a lot of games.
Yeah, I would just piggyback off Jeff real quick, and I have two things that Gears of War always stick out to for me. Is one, my oldest brother, is like 11 years older than I am, and that was like one of the first games that we got to play together because he was stationed in Germany since I was, I don't know, 10, and that Gears of War was like one of the first games we played together, and like going into like play online games together. The other one is more of me. I always tell people I don't talk trash, I always speak the truth, which means that I will talk trash after the fact. So Gears of War came out in my senior year of college, and I got a 360 for Christmas, and my roommate got a 360 for Christmas. So we, at this time, we were living in an apartment with, like, there was six of us. So we, like, me and my roommate had a room, and then, you know, dude. So we had my 360 in the living room, and then his 360 was in our bedroom. And, like, you know, you'd play online together across the way and stuff. So we were playing one day, and my roommate, he's gotten better with time. hopefully he never listens to this. He does not like using in-game. It's one of the things that drives him nuts. I don't care either way, but I will rub it into his face because it drives him nuts. And so we were playing Gears of War one time, and you know, like, you could down somebody, and I think at the time, they've really made this a big part of the franchise afterwards. You can execute people.
Yes.
And I just remember executing him. And I'm in the other room, and it's like me and a friend, it's me and a roommate, and it's and him and somebody else. And I just shout back, and like, you know, I just make fun of him or something. And I hit his thud. And we go into, I go into our room. And he got so pissed off at me that he punched a hole through the wall. And it was, I mean, what, he punched a hole through the wall, which is something. But then it was like, it, we had to live with it for the rest of the senior year and had to find a way to excuse it. You know, at the end of the year, when they come to check you out, you have to pay for any damages done.
Yeah.
And there's a giant hole in our wall that he punched
through. We had plenty of those. Not over gears, just drunk and stupidity. Oh,
it's still just, and I learned not to trash talk him that much. I still do, but, you know, to a degree where I'm like, it's, and I get it. I get that there are people who are just like, you know, I hate when you're better than me at this, but I'm like, it was just one of those things. I just remember punching that wall. I'm like, okay, so maybe we won't do it as much anymore.
I seriously thought you were going to say that you heard a thud and you went in the other room and like he had passed out and dropped the controller on the floor. And so you had beat someone who was asleep.
Oh, no, that would be much easier for him to live with.
I don't really have multiplayer memories of the game, but I just remember taking it home that first night, and the first time you chainsaw somebody, it's just like, wow, dude, this fucking, it feels great, it looks awesome
and
shit. Like,
yeah, but, and the first one in particular, and the franchise has kind of balanced it, not, it was called the shoddy game, because like, once you got up close with a shotgun,
yeah,
it was pretty much game over, two shots and anybody's dead.
Yeah.
But it's actually one of the few first or third person that actually enjoyed a sniper, because you get a great shot in that head pop, which sounds very morbid, but like it has like that great head popping sound.
Yes.
And again, one of the few games I can actually use a sniper in, because I think it tends to level it out more, and you don't need to eat as much as some other games. But yeah, so much stuff, like sticking grenades on the side of walls and having like your enemy run into a trap and they throw themselves up. It was fantastic times.
So there's our first of our final entries, Gears of War. Who wants to go next?
Can we just say Gears of War again?
I got one for you.
All right, Jeff, go ahead.
Let me take you back to a time.
Oh god,
I like to do this.
Never mind, Jeff. Stop. Let's move on to someone else.
I'll make it simple. I'm going to go with the game that got me kicked out of the living room in college. So I had a GameCube that was in the living room, and after I got this game, my GameCube was forcibly moved to my bedroom, where I had to continue playing Animal Crossing by myself.
Okay, that's not where I was like Mario Kart Double Dash, Mario Party.
No.
Wait, did you really just try to add work the game to our Hall of Fame?
Animal Crossing really absolutely belongs. In fact, like for me, I think if I would have won the, I think the best trip. One is the Switch one, the New Horizons, and I think that I think Animal Crossing.
So
New
you're not Horizon, even adding the best game from the Switch.
Well, I can't
you're adding
can't.
Like. Right,
I can't.
You're adding an inferior game to the Hall of Fame.
I don't know about inferior.
Inferior.
I don't know, like, because the original Animal Crossing had those, like, had you could things. Unlock the original Nintendo games, right?
Yeah, that was a huge thing. But yeah, just to get it out of the way, I do think that New Horizons is the best game on the Switch, like hands down.
Oh,
but the original. Okay,
the best game on
the
Switch.
Well, there we go. I think the best game should be the one.
The new Animal
and
Crossing.
The best one is not eligible. Therefore, this game is not eligible for the Hall of Fame.
I can't. But as far as the original, definitely deserves a spot, man. Like, and you know, started as something so small, and people kind of scoffed at, and I got ridiculed for playing and forced to go in my room to play. But I just remember at that time just the. Like, what a new idea it felt like, and, like, how amazing and kind of magical it felt, and you didn't know what its limitations were that first time you're playing it, so it was, like, this sense of discovery, like, just, you know, I still remember the first time I was playing in the middle of the night, I'm, like, playing at 3 a.m, and there's a ghost, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then you find out, you know, you find all the things later, like, okay, that ghost shows up at night, and blah, 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 or, you know, whatever. Like, the first time you see a present flying by in the air, you're like, what the fuck? Like, that game had such an awesome, like, you know, this is all very old now, and you know all the mechanics of the game, but the first time you're playing it.
Yeah, I'm sure that, like, when you played that the first time, that, like, you know, you come up on, like, the holiday season, and you know.
So, yeah.
The snow is there, they start decorating with lights, and, like, that was probably a really cool experience.
Yeah, it was completely new at that time. Like, the idea that if you played a game, and it was, like, 3 o'clock, you know, 3 p.m. in real life, it was 3 p.m. in the game, same date, like, that was new. I mean, maybe it's been done in other games before then, but that was new to me.
And it was one of those things where if you stop playing it for a little bit and you come back, like, it notices that you weren't there.
And, like, all these things, again, may have been done previously. I have no idea, honestly, but it was the first time that I experienced that. I do really think it's, like, one of the last really great Nintendo games that was, like, new. Like, that and Pikmin are kind of, like, the last big things, I think. I guess they still do stuff like Splatoon. I don't know. But to me,
Wii Sports.
Yeah. But to me, Animal Crossing is just really special. That first one, again, it was the one that, like, set up all these things, so the newness of it all, that was a big part of it. Getting the original Nintendo games, which they have not done since.
Well, I mean, part of it. I was going to say part of that, though, is, like, that's not appealing anymore because, like, you get those, like, you have NSO, you've had the virtual console. Like, at the time, it was, like,
still
the only way
to me. If they did something like that, like,
I think there's a novelty in being able to play it. But, yeah, I don't think it's, like, I think if the TVs were usable in Horizon, that'd be nice. But, like, yeah, like, I've thought about it, like, why don't you do that anymore? But it's like, oh, yeah, because you sell these games by themselves now. Where at the time, like, that was the first time you had access to them on a console since the NES.
Yeah, it's like the first time I've played Punch-Out since, yeah. The other thing, I do think that, like, that first one was somewhat more interesting in terms of the dialogue and tasks than some of the later ones. Like, it just felt like the conversations were a little deeper. Maybe, again, it could be, like, that newness where you're not noticing what the limitations are. You're like, wow, this guy really knows me. And it's just like, no.
It's your first time through.
Yeah. I do think that the dialogue options were a little deeper, felt a little deeper than they are now. I do think that the newest one is the best one, but I do think that right out of the gate, Animal Crossing was pretty special, and it had that newness then, so.
I mean, it's certainly one of the big. It has spawned one of the biggest franchises in gaming.
But it's so weird because at that time it was not, and, like,
no, evidently, I mean, you were kicked out of.
yeah, and you know, the GameCube itself, like, you guys remember, like, the GameCube was looked down upon at that time. Like,
I mean, have your friends
that were like,
at that time, you know. I think it was looked down the entire time it existed. Like, I think it's getting resurgence now. What was I going to say? I think the thing that really, really needed, that Animal Crossing needed, and that wouldn't happen on the GameCube, but was online, because I do think the idea of, like, the shared space, like, I think on the GameCube, you can always do it with people nearby, and, like, people weren't really doing it then, but, like.
Oh, I would have villages with other people, like, with, so eventually, it was, like, me, my girlfriend, my friend, and his girlfriend. Like, we all lived in the same town on my GameCube. But it was weird divvying up the time between us. Like, it was, like, I don't know. Like, people were, like, living at my house for a while. And then, like, you'd wait for someone to go to sleep, and then you could go do your tasks. Like, it was really fucking weird.
Yes. Very weird.
Jeff. Indeed, it was weird. It was so weird. So weird.
But it was really fun, too. Like, sending letters to each other, and
it doesn't sound fun.
You would get it. You don't like joy.
I mean, well, there's the fact that your roommates are like, go play this where we can't see it. For the love,
yeah,
of
but
God.
Then I had a different set of people that got it. They like did not judge.
A bunch of people who you never met in person.
It was the early 2000s, okay, and College Bros did not want to be playing the Little Purple Lunchbox, but.
Uh-huh.
Then I had a separate set of friends for when I was back home and not at college. Mm-hmm. And they were a little older and did not care about such things, about looking cool. And they were like, let's try this out.
Or it wasn't about looking cool so much as it was about not wanting a game about raking up leaves.
His friends at home wanted to do that.
Yeah, they were
more open-minded. There was a reason they were at home and couldn't go anywhere else.
I mean, I'm with Tony on, like, I don't get Animal Crossing.
I don't get these games. I don't enjoy them. I don't like them. But I don't understand why people enjoy them or like them.
There is certainly no denying their
yes. There's definitely a subset popularity of people who love these.
And the new one is the best Switch game. Like, easily.
Oh, God. I think Jeff just took this a step too far. that was just...
I think that's a conversation for another day.
Yes.
In 15 years.
Yes.
All right. Well, Animal Crossing is our second entry.
It will not be vetoed. Not on my watch.
Yeah,
I'm not going to veto it.
Despite as I said, like Tony and I don't like these games, but there's no denying how impactful it has. Like, obviously, like, super impactful. It was the game of the pandemic, last year. Stemmed from this one.
I think, it's gotten bigger with each entry. Like, I think that the DS one was its big, like, arrival. Like, people really noticed it. But then even more so with the Switch one, where everybody, like, the whole fucking world noticed this game. Yeah. But it all started.
I mean, plus the technology was better. Like, Nintendo could add things as the game went along. Like,
they do things that I honestly think that the new one is just one of the best looking games I've ever played. Like, graphically,
that is insanity.
It really is. Stop, like, it's stop, really stop neat graphic like style.
Stop blogging.
It all starts little game on the GameCube that no one really wanted to give a chance on a system that everyone had written off. No, it starts
and
there.
Goddamn, they were right.
They were not. People were stupid back then. I was ahead of the curve. I knew that Nintendo was amazing.
I have Nintendo, but I wouldn't go that far. They've had their fair share of mistakes.
The GameCube was severely underrated at the time, and it had a lot to do with how it looked. It had an awesome lineup of unique games, and it got a lot of the third-party stuff. Like, it was a contender with either of those other... It just got written off by people. Like, oh, fuck that. I got my PS2 or whatever. I got my Xbox. I don't need that. That's for kids.
I mean, to be fair, it's not Xbox. It was PlayStation 2, because, I mean, the Xbox and GameCube...
Also struggled.
They sold around the same, which is like 30 million or so. It was a PlayStation 2 generation, but there was stuff going on. I think that it was going through, I don't want to say growing pains, but it was, it was a big part of the end of the N64 and going into the game. It's like Nintendo was kiddie, which is still a reputation they have.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it was the industry trying to grow up and not realizing, and I still think this is a problem with the industry, that there's no shame in actually catering to more than that core 18 to 35 demographic. If anything, I think we don't do it as enough. But that, Animal Crossing. I was going to say, the only reason I would veto it, which I'm in the minority with, is that I do think that other games in the franchise, it's kind of like the Super Mario Brothers argument, and that Super Mario Brothers is a groundbreaking game, and without it, the sequels would not exist. But those sequels add stuff that makes it what it actually is to people.
I would put the GameCube one right below the new one for me. Like, I was disappointed by the follow-ups until this new one. So, I don't know.
I know people don't love City Folks as much, because City Folks is just crap. What is the 3DS one called?
New Leaf.
Yeah.
No, wait.
That's right.
Yes, and then I just remember City Folk was just like, it was not new or anything, and I mean mostly that was remembered because that added the voice chat to the Wii, but
it didn't add a lot to the game, whereas this new one really started by adding a lot and it keeps adding. Like,
Yes, and I feel like I think like New Leaf and I think New Horizon. I think what I mean, Ed, Tony, and Chris Cobb obviously disagree, is that the game does have purpose. Where I feel like the original doesn't really, like, there is really nothing that's driving it. Where
the,
like,
the first like 20 hours of the new one, it feels like a game where you're like trying to progress and do things, you know.
And I think they did something similar with New Leaf, where you're like the mayor of the town. And you're trying to get, like, you know, they add that element where it's like you're trying to do something to make your town better.
Yeah. And then the GameCube one's just the core experience of, and there's something to be said about that too. I think there's something neat about, I mean, there's no point to the new one I'm playing now at this point, 100 and, you know, 200 hours into it. Like, there's nothing, I guess the DLC, which I still have not touched, but.
Which is what Tony and I have been saying since the beginning.
But
no point to it.
I don't know. I think that's another thing that was really cool and unique about it, though, when it first came out. It's like, here's a game where it's like, there's no way to win. There's no way to lose. It's just about hanging out in this world. Like, you know, I don't know. That's neat. Neat.
I am down with it. Put it in.
All right.
It's not worth arguing over.
It is an iconic game.
Yes. It's not so bad where I'm like, this game sullies the Hall of Fame by its very presence.
By the way, I originally was going to choose Dark Alliance. Just throwing it out there.
All right,
that would have been a choice I'd supported.
My problem with that game is I've always played it as a two-player game, and it does not hold up as a single player.
No.
Just last summer. Like, by yourself. Yeah.
Found that out the hard way this year. Yeah. You know, as frustrated as, not to derail and talk about Dark Alliance, but as what I found out is, like, as frustrated as I was playing it with my friends in his basement when that game came out, it does not work as well without him.
You need that other person being able to, like, bring you back or whatever. I forgot how it works exactly. Yeah, the
game is, like, aggressively hard, like, even on easy.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, Earl.
What do you guys got? I don't have any big speeches. I don't have any groundbreaking games. I just
let me take you back to a time when Earl played a game.
Oh, Shrek.
Jesus Christ.
I support that. I'm with you.
I am going back to the time before when there used to be a console developer that wasn't Nintendo, Microsoft, or Sony. It was a little can-do company in Japan. It was Sega. And honestly, yeah. This is more of a recency bias, which isn't true because the game is like 30 years old almost. But I did play it this year. I went through it and actually finished it this year. And I thought it was a ton of fun. It's you know, very creative. It's a really cartoony and comic booky Contra, but Gunstar Heroes.
Interesting. I veto it.
Oh, you tell.
Nah, I like Gunstar Heroes. It's all right.
I think it's a ton of fun. I like the way that you can combine weapons, new weapons. I like the, you know, like the stages are varied and different. Even the bosses, there's various forms of the bosses, so you don't necessarily get to learn the patterns right away. Like, you do eventually if you fail enough times, like I have. But I think it's just like one of those really good. Like, I think it's. Like I said, it's kind of a Contra, but I think it kind of usurps Contra in certain regards with your power-ups, enemy designs, and bosses, and just purely, it's just fun. It's just really fun to play.
It's super colorful, too.
Yes. The one downside, again, and I honestly don't know if that's because of the version I was playing on NSO or whatever. It is not great. It's fun in co-op, but like, the game does not handle co-op well. And I'm still kind of curious if that's that. But yeah, I like that. You know, it's fun but fair. It's not, you know, like sometimes some of those old school games are just like you have to just like have memorized this thing 30 years ago, or have the reflexes of, I don't know, the Flash, because it's like you have to know, like, if you jump here, this thing's gonna come swooping out of the screen at the second, and you have to like, and just like, yeah, that stuff. It doesn't have any of that unfair level design. It's not. It's like it doesn't feel like it was designed as a quarter muncher, where it's just like you're gonna die repeatedly and you're gonna feed us quarters. Yeah, I just think it's a ton of fun. I think it's a really good looking game. I think it still holds up visually. And I'm surprised. You know what? I'm not going to say that, because I'm going to say that I'm going to find like, there's a 3D version that's just awful, and that's the only way nobody talks about it.
Nice.
First Treasure game.
Yeah.
Who would go on to do one of my favorite games of all time, Ikaruga. Also, they did a little game called Radiant Silver Gun.
Which will look be coming. At that.
Yeah.
No, I was gonna say, I at this point, this sounds like a game that was made for Xbox Games of Gold, but maybe it wasn't.
It just cracked me up. Everyone was like, "Who's heard of any of these games?" I'm like, Radiant Silver Gun is pretty significant in the shmup genre. I guess that's not a genre that people love as much. I don't know.
So, like, five of you people hang out and you discuss.
I would never make fun of a name like Radiant Silver Gun. It does not sound like anything else.
It's like everyone's like dunking on this, revealing.
Hey,
that
baby,
they don't
want to come up to my room and see my radiance?
They don't know a significant game in a genre. It's not, you know.
I was gonna say, Radiant Silver Gun sounds like an RPG attack.
It does. I knew what it was, but I don't. I'm not a shmup person, so.
It's a good one. It's one that I came to way late. But I came to it because I was like, oh, Treasure developed this. I got it. Like I think Treasure had a really interesting run. Like, they haven't really done shit in forever, but from like the 90s through the early 2000s,
you know,
Treasure was pretty fucking awesome.
They are, I guess they're still around.
Supposedly, yeah, but it's like
they haven't done a game in 7 years, so.
Yeah. But, you know, like, they had a stretch there. I mean, Ikaruga, I think, is one of the great shooters.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
I really like their Wario World. I thought Wario World was underrated on the GameCube.
They did Sin and Punishment as well.
Yeah. It's a great studio. It's I wish they had more success, because I don't think any of their games has been massive. But
they really
cult classics at best.
They had there's like a pedigree of quality to their games, and then they like really got the shooter genre, like the shmup type genre, which, you know, Gunstar is kind of, you know, it is like a run and gun shooter, but.
So their first game was, you know, Earl's Choice here, Gunstar Heroes. I am more interested in trying their second game though, which is McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure.
One of the great shmups of our time.
It's got a great cover.
It does. Oh, it's terrifying.
Nightmare shit.
They have not released a new game since 2014. That is insane.
It got good reviews. The McDonald's game.
McDonald's, really?
Yeah,
all right. I need to track that down and play that. That's terrifying. But yeah, I've unfortunately touched Gunstar Heroes. It's been, like, you know, included in a bunch of those Genesis collections, but
I played it through it on something, Game Boy something somewhere. Yeah. I know I've played through it.
I don't think I've ever played through it. I've touched it though, so cool. I fully on board with that one. Tony, what do you have?
So mine is the third entry in a
it's
series.
It's a fucking strategy game videoing this.
It is indeed a fucking strategy game. The first two didn't quite get the universal acclaim that this game got. The first one being a game about the shogunate era of Japan. The second game, the medieval era, which is kind of interesting, but the third game, when they went to Rome, the series kind of finally hit its stride. Rome Total War. Obviously, I spent a lot of time playing these Total War games. It's just an epic series. And Rome Total War is the one game that seems to like reside in the hearts of Total War fans more than any of the others.
It's the only game in the series to get a legit remake. So they literally, like, people look back to this game as being better than some of the more recent games in the series, even though the series has been around for ages and has gone through all these developments. They still look back to this game as the one that really set off the series and really made it what it was supposed to be. In terms of, like, strategy game campaigns, it had a really interesting premise. Most of the time, strategy games were about, you know, you literally just try to conquer the whole world. You know, civilization was about conquering the world through technology or whatever it happened to be. Like, but in this game, you were a third of an empire. So basically, you would take over one of the factions of Rome, and as a servant of Rome, you'd be out conquering stuff. And you'd see the other portions of Rome doing the same thing at the same time. And then at some point in the mid-game, there'd be a civil war, and you'd have to fight with these other factions for supremacy. It was a really, really cool element, because it was clear in the game that Rome was the dominant faction. Like, they had the good places to start from. They were going to develop really quickly and really in a really advanced way. And so, like, you have these three portions of Rome that are all advancing really quickly. And then you have to face down with yourself. And that was a really, really cool element. And like, the finale to the game is this huge, epic battle over Rome. And it was always a really, really hard battle to win, no matter what difficulty you were playing on. And you're facing off against a huge army. And it's just an awesome, awesome game in every respect. And then when you were finished with that portion of it, which, awesome, awesome campaign, then you could play as any civilization in the world. And they were all super varied, super different. They all felt like utterly unique campaigns.
What game was this?
Rome Total War.
Rome Total War.
I veto it. I veto that.
And this is something like other games have struggled to emulate, where you have like unique cultures and civilizations, each playing in a really unique way. That makes them feel utterly different, and yet still have a campaign that's balanced and fun to play no matter who you're playing as. It's kind of been a struggle in any game. Like, if you play like a Civ game, you'll have your unique unit.
Right.
But that's it. That's all you have. And like, everybody seems to be like, everybody has the same like tanks, and like they're building the same buildings and everything. Whereas in Rome, everything was different. Like, every army you would face down, like, if you're facing off a Greek army against the army from Egypt, those armies look completely different. And you also have that element where the game has two phases. There's, like, a really top-down strategy element where you're researching technologies, and you're moving armies around the map, and you're building troops. And then there's those tactical RTS battles, which really give variety to the gameplay. Like, it's not just about doing these mechanical things. It's like you're doing these mechanical things to result in this awesome-looking battle that you get to fight yourself. And that's a really, really cool thing that other games hadn't really done. So, I always look at this. This was my most played franchise of all time, and this is the game in that franchise that I played utterly the most, more than anything. Like, I probably played through this campaign 25 times, and like, it always feels great every single time. So
yeah, I mean, the Total War franchise is one of the big strategy franchises going, so and this is the one that always does seem to come back up. Like,
I'm just saying, we haven't used our veto power yet.
If we're going to use it, we use it at Animal Crossing.
motherfucker.
It just feels a shame that we have this power that we have not used yet to like.
We nominate games that are worthy of it.
I mean, you know what happened though? Chris fucking snuck in that jungle hunt bullshit the first fucking episode.
That game is amazing.
We didn't know fucking what was going on yet. what did you say, Chris?
That game is amazing. But also, it was perfect time to slide that one in. First one.
I don't know if it survives with it, you know, now that we're like so deep into this.
Right. Well, I mean, like, as we're moving on, right? Like, you know, you see what's in the Hall of Fame, and like you start comparing.
It feels like it sticks out a little bit.
Nah, it's fine. It's, you know, it's one of those old ones. You're just like, oh yeah, Chris is old, and he's played old games.
That's right.
Those fucking Atari games do not hold up. Boy, oh boy.
I think Joel Hunt's the worst.
But it's like saying like people from the who played in the NBA in like the 60s and 70s shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. It's a different type of game now. It's like, yeah, like their game may not be great to the ender.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I mean, but like, I don't know. You could play an NES game and you could say the same thing of NES games. Like, they've aged. There's things about them that are not great. But when you go to the Atari era, it's like ancient.
Definitely some Atari games that don't work, but I think that there are definitely some games from that era that do work. That, like, and we still haven't, you know, put some of those in. Something like Donkey Kong is just, it's a phenomenal game. Like, it still works today.
I'd say Donkey Kong is leaps and bounds ahead of most Atari.
Yeah. Yes, my experience with Jungle Hunt was definitely the 2600, but you know, it's an arcade game. Like, it started out as an arcade game.
It does exist in the arcade. It's at actually this big arcade that I sometimes go to.
Yeah, like it works as an arcade game, as opposed to like some of these Atari games just suck. But I wouldn't back a veto on Rome Total War anyway. Like, it's a phenomenal strategy game.
I wouldn't back a veto just because I don't know if I can hear Tony talk about it the next time we try to do this. So like, we'll just get it in on the guy. Like, I don't really care about it.
I mean, to me, like, you know, similar to Tony's comment about Animal Crossing, I don't think it's the best Total War game.
No, I don't either.
I think that probably falls to one of the Warhammer games.
Warhammer 2 is probably the best game of the series.
But it's a phenomenal game.
It also means no Total War game for at least another year.
No, I mean, he you know, this is 2021. He could spot one into 2022.
No, but he can't do it for the next time. That would be
Get ready for Total War Medieval 2, yeah.
So you couldn't do the mid-year one because you can't do it back-to-back.
Fair enough.
I mean, that is the rules we established.
I'll redo it. I don't care.
Yes, those are the rules we established. So, I don't know. Those are our four. We have a list here. I'm going to quickly read them, and then I think we can easily pare this down.
Yes.
Very, very quickly. Immediately off the bat, Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 2 are not eligible because Resident Evil was entered in this year, so.
But, well, I was gonna say technically, I guess they would be because that was through a turn. We can save it. Like, we can just say it. We can X-nay that.
Yes, I just say it's easier. Like, yes, you're right. Like, technically, it got a buy into wasn't an actual pick that we made, but I think it's just easier if we hold off on any more Resident Evils this year. Here we go. Madden 04, Suikoden 2, Halo 2, Final Fantasy 9, Pokemon Emerald, Final Fantasy 10, Dragon Ball Z, Boo's Fury, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, Legend of Zelda, Wind Waker, Age of Empires, Psychonauts, Stinko-Man, not sure what that is.
I have no idea what that is.
Mega Man Battle Network, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, Star Fox Assault, Pokemon Blue, Gold, Ruby. I don't think that's the combo that generation was.
That is not. That is three different generations.
All right, so those are three different games.
What are we listing here? What's going on?
These are the people who are suggestions.
But Blue, Gold, and Silver Ryu goes to Ruby. So
it's blue, yellow, red, right? Blue, red, yellow, and then it's
gold, diamond, blue. And platinum, and then it's ruby, emerald. All right,
so those are three. I don't know what that was. Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, Skies of Arcadia, Tales of Symphonia, Baden Kados, Tales of the Abyss, Rise of Nations. That's a strategy game, I believe.
Yes, a very good one.
Legacy of Kain, Spyro the Dragon, and Mario 64. There's a lot of good games here.
Yeah. Before we get into any of that, I'm just going to make a rule because there's some great games in there, some fantastic games, some games that will be on my list. I'm going to narrow it down to just one game out of that because we can't induct.
Please do.
We can't induct like 20 games.
No. We're going to take one. Like, we're only taking one.
It's a Wind Waker, obviously.
No, I'm gonna say no to the Zeldas and no, because I think those are games we're going to induct ourselves. Then, like, my fear is like,
leaves me a pick.
Just being selfish on it.
I just think Wind Waker is like.
Don't we already have two Zelda games in the Hall of Fame already?
It's true, but
that's my reservation here. We already inducted two in. I love Wind Waker. It did get three nominations from listeners. So obviously, like, it has support outside of us. I'm good with not inducting Wind Waker just yet.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yes.
And don't worry, Jeff. Like it is definitely one that is in my head to nominate myself. It's my favorite 3D Zelda. So, what was the one that you were thinking here, Earl?
Age of Empires. Good work, Earl. Good work.
What'd you say, Jeff?
I said Earl's out, so it's Wind Waker.
It's not
Wind Waker. It was a long list. I couldn't remember it all. That was the one.
It's literally in the
Star
voice
Fox
chat.
Adventures.
It's literally in the chat. Look at the chat. It's there. You can.
Star Fox Adventures is not Star Fox Assault, which I'm not familiar with that one.
Assault is not deserve. What are we fucking? Where is the chat? What chat?
Oh, that's
the text channel.
There's a long list.
Boy, some of these, what the fuck were you guys thinking?
Earl, what game were you going to bring up?
Oh, no, I mean, I guess of this, I'm going to say it, and because I feel like we're not the group that's going to do it, is probably Final Fantasy 9 or 10, because I don't feel like any of us are going to nominate I don't think any of us are going to nominate a post-PlayStation Final Fantasy game. How about that?
Well, not nine would definitely be one that I would nominate. I don't know about 10.
Okay, but I feel like that is not gonna happen. I would not do maybe Spyro. Oh, I would say Mega Man Battle Network. I think that's a game that I really enjoy. And I don't think it's a game any of us would actually nominate. But I think it's a really great noodle RPG series. And I'm kind of disappointed they haven't done more with it after these were Game Boy and I think the DS games.
Okay, so there's that. Jeff?
Okay, what is Stinko Man?
I think this
list lacks good games.
There's a lot of good games on there.
There's some great games.
Hall of Fame.
In fact, Age of Empires got three nominations. I'm just saying that game is fantastic and like a foundational game in strategy games.
Was it just Tony Rufondin on the alt?
I'm just like,
I had no idea what these were.
Star Fox Assault? Like, what are we talking about here? Why would you do Halo 2 instead of Halo? Madden 04.
Madden 04 is like,
submitted this list.
That was not me.
I can give you the comment on Madden. Madden 04, he says, save the entire franchise no matter what you feel about the franchise as a whole. I don't remember Madden 04. It doesn't stick
that's
out.
That's the
to
Michael
me.
Vick Madden.
It was a big one because
I hated that one.
Yes, I did not play that Madden either. It was kind of broken. People did like it because you could play with Michael Vick and like,
he was
run
broken.
All over people.
Like, that game was flat out broken.
Yes.
I can't get behind that one.
most of these I couldn't, like Wind Waker for sure. That's what I'm like. What was Earl saying? Which one? Final Fantasy is like, I'm just not a fan of. So it's, I guess.
Well, Final Fantasy, that was why, because I would never nominate a Final Fantasy. I think Final Fantasy, I think it's a franchise that should be in there.
But like Final Fantasy 9 or 10, like those are the ones.
I think it would be 9. I think from what I heard, it's 9.
Nine is my favorite PlayStation 1, but. And it's, Final Fantasy is one of my favorite series, but,
Yes,
that's besides the point.
I would personally like Skies of Arcadia is one that I would induct.
Fucking Psychonauts, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Vankaidos is another one I think I would come up with. I might steal some of this. I think again, Halo is a game that's going to get in. I mean, Halo 2 is going to get in. I'm surprised it's not in already.
But like, we don't have Halo in there, do we?
We do have Halo. Yeah, it was like the first round, I think.
Halo C, Class of 2020.
Okay.
So it took 15 games to get it in, but yeah, it was our.
I think it was also a fan selection too.
Yes. And we said like we'll just take this one because Halo's going to get in there at some point.
Yep.
Stinko Man is evidently a Homestar Runner platformer.
Cross that one out. That is just like, yeah, if we could cross it out on this, it would be crossed out.
I can cross it out, watch. Like, it's amazing. You can strike through.
I would also say the same thing about Kingdom Hearts Chains of Memories. I don't even know which one that is. So.
To me, I like Kingdom Hearts. To me, though, if we're going to nominate a Kingdom Hearts game, it should be fucking, Kingdom Hearts or Kingdom Hearts 2. Not one of the side games. I don't know anything about Mega Man Battle Network. I'm not opposed to it, Earl. Like,
well, does anybody?
I feel like it's the same argument we just had. It's like, would we nominate one of the other Mega Man games first?
The only reason I would argue for this is. And Mega Man 2 is on the list. I mean, Mega Man 2 is in the Hall of Fame, I believe.
Mega Man is not.
I don't think so.
Yet. Yeah.
Okay, then I will ixnay that one because I was like, because I thought Mega Man 2 was in there. The reason I would say that for is that because Battle Network is a different type of game. It's a spinoff, yes, but I don't consider it a spinoff like Chain of Memories because that's the whole. But like that's because it's a different Mega Man. And it's an RP, it's a turn-based RPG, and I actually do think they're really enjoyable games. Until they want to become Pokemon and they have two different versions, whatever. But we will save that for the future. So we are narrowing it down, but we have not picked the game yet.
Oh.
So again, I'm gonna go back to my original theory and just say one of the Final Fantasies that were nominated because I really don't think we're going to do it.
But remember though, this is the Hall of Fame for our podcast. Like, and are we going to put games into our Hall of Fame
that we don't really care about?
I mean, we put Jungle Hunt in.
Okay, but Chris said he likes Final Fantasy IX. That's not the same as Chris being like, oh my god, this is one of the best games I've ever played. It's a foundational game to my
gaming experience.
Like, I don't think that's Chris's experience.
At some point, I mean, there will be another Final Fantasy. We inducted Final Fantasy I last year. There will be another Final Fantasy game. I don't know if it's either of these anytime soon, but...
It just feels like the wrong one. I think these choices are fucked. And I think that, what's an obvious one that none of us will ever want to do, but it belongs there, is Mario 64. Like,
god damn you.
I'm not opposed to that because I would never nominate Mario 64. I don't like Mario 64, but it does belong.
It belongs.
It totally belongs.
There was a time when you did love it, right? I mean,
no. There's never been a time I loved Mario 64.
Wow.
Like, if I was playing games on my 64, Mario 64 would not be one of like the top five.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
I like Mario 64 more enough, but this was always, people who say, I used to complain that I think Mario 64 is fine, but it takes away what I actually enjoy about Mario, which is the platforming, and it's more of an adventure exploration game.
Yeah.
I think, which is why I much prefer Galaxy, because Galaxy is sometimes it does take the shortcut with the gravity, but it is much more of a platform, a 3D platformer, where that matters.
Let's just erase all these nominations and replace them with Galaxy, and I'd be fine with that.
Galaxy eligible?
I don't know.
It's close.
It is very close, and like, yeah. I mean, Galaxy's great. I mean, to me, like, it's eligible next year.
Yeah.
It's 2007's a crazy year for eligible games.
It is. I think it might be the best Mario. Like, I always say 3, that's like my go-to answer, but man, Galaxy. Great game.
Oh, no, anyways. Galaxy is my favorite 3D Mario game.
I think I'm with you.
So it sounds like Mario 64 doesn't actually have any proponents.
Look, man, when it came out, that was the most amazing game I ever played in my life. I can't believe you guys would say that you did not play it when it came out. Like,
none of us said that. None of us said we loved it when it came out.
I remember playing it with my friends who, neither of which I would call gamers now, but they both, at least one of them had a Nintendo 64, and like all playing that Mario 64 together and just being blown away by it. Like, I was a freshman in high school. And holy shit, that game blew me away. Like, I don't like playing it now. I'm not one of these people.
I don't like that generation. I don't like that style of platformer in general. Like, I think that what was the new one that
Odyssey
is
that style.
Odyssey is the only one of those that, like, I don't like collectathons. Basically, like,
man, what?
I never have, like, and I get, like, it just doesn't work. I like the challenge of platforming.
Yes, and I think Odyssey does. I think Odyssey is, I mean, Odyssey has time and
distance. It's Mario.
But see, I guess for me, Mario, I don't associate Mario with difficulty in that same way.
I don't either, but it would be, like, I would say there's little challenge to that one. I guess... I don't know.
There is challenge in that you have to be creative and finding ways to get certain moons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think there are harder objectives too if you want to reach for them.
I think Odyssey balances it, right? Like, there's what I want out of a Mario game, out of a 3D Mario game. And then there's like the more like, you know, just like explore and fun shit will happen. I'm not opposed to Mario 64.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I've been talked into it. I feel like it is. It's a game that I think deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think any of us hate it, but I don't think it's like, if I was given the choice between a 3D Mario game to pick, it would probably be 5th. I think between the two galaxies, between Odyssey and 3D World, and even Bobby Bowser's Fury.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't be the game that I'd nominated. There's no way.
But
I think it belongs.
It belongs.
There are games on this list that I think like will also belong at some point. Like, yes.
I honestly, like, did they mean Star Fox 64? Like, Star Fox Assault? What the fuck?
Yeah, I think I don't know.
This is such an odd...
I think some people were messing with you. Pretty sure.
I don't know.
You know what I do love? Star Fox Adventures. Let's do that one.
And you can suggest that.
I feel like I'm the only person that like genuinely loved that game.
Yes, you are. It's the first time somebody's ever said I'm the only one, and it's gonna be true.
Good. Listen, when we're done with this podcast, go listen to some of the music from Star Fox.
Yeah, except it's a video game. I want to play it and see if it's good. Like, I don't want to listen to the music.
It's very. Rare collectathon-y. I don't know. I guess it wouldn't be really a collectathon. I don't know. It's been a while since I played it. But
I think that's a good list here for 2021. Closing it out with Mario 64.
Yes. It makes sense. It's the 25th anniversary of that game. Well, I mean, earlier in the year, of course, but
yeah.
And again, it is a game that, again, I hate bringing, but it's a Super Mario Brothers example where I think without it, like, a lot of 3D gaming would not be where it is now, but almost everything after it has improved on the formula in some fashion.
Yeah.
Better and worse, because I dislike, especially, I think, ultimately, this is where my disdain for Donkey Kong 64 comes in, and it becomes the ultimate collect-a-thon. Where it's like you have to collect stuff with certain characters, and those characters aren't free transferable. So it's like you're going back and forth on the same stage a dozen times just to get the right character to get a banana or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to lock in Mario 64 here. Thank you for your suggestions. Sorry that we insulted some of them, but.
I'm not sorry about it. But not I am sure sorry that you guys insulted Mario 64. What the fuck?
We did not insult Mario 64.
A little bit. A little bit.
Just because you don't absolutely love it?
A little bit. I don't absolutely love it either. Like,
I think it's better than Animal Crossing.
Dear Lord. I insult it. I admit, like, I nowadays would not prefer to play Mario 64. But... at the time, it was, again, the best game I ever played at the time.
All right, there we go. Chris is, or Jeff has admitted that it's not worthy of our Hall of Fame, so we're going to go with Age of Empires.
That's not even on the fucking...
It's on the list three times. Three.
Yeah, the three. No, we got three nominations for that, along with Wind Waker. I think Wind Waker will end up on our list at some point. I think Age of Empires runs into the same thing that Earl was just saying about Mario, where Age of Empires 2 is the better
one.
Yes,
if I were to nominate an Age of Empires game, it would be 2.
Yeah.
It's not, the first one is not awesome. Like, there's a lot of, this is me, and then I think that the third one kind of loses its way, and the fourth one is pretty good, but again, the second one is just the best in the series.
Yeah. But I think we'll return to some of these. I like the nomination of Skies of Arcadia. It's a great nomination there. I think Earl and I will champion that at some point.
Yeah.
Never played it. It's one of those GameCube games I could never get. I know it was also, Dreamcast?
It's a Dreamcast game, yeah.
It is one of the few, it's definitely for an RPG, it's one of the few games that I've owned on both the Dreamcast and a GameCube, and I beat it on both systems.
Who's going to be the brave soul to nominate Sonic Adventure 2?
You?
It's going to be you.
I don't think it's any of us.
Oh, so that's going to nominate Sonic. If you want to nominate Sonic Adventure 2, score, I'm there with you. I'm down for
that. Do we have Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on our Hall of Fame?
We don't have game.
Yes. No. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is, yes.
No Sonic.
Who was the great person who did that?
That was me. That was
good job.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm trying to balance mine, but I think most of mine are like beat 'em up or in that genre, because I think I did Streets of Rage 2 as well.
I've tried to kind of go through the ages, so to speak. Like, I think my first pick was NES.
Maybe. What I'm trying to prevent is like just going with my favorite games, because I get Skies of Arcadia, Metroid Prime. Super Metroid's on.
Super Metroid is on. Super Metroid is on.
Fuck that wall jump section.
But yeah, and then it's also like there's a ton of games where I'm like, oh, do I enjoy this? Or I enjoyed it, but is it Hall of Fame worthy? Like, Spikes and the Cursed Mummy, I don't think any of you would necessarily agree with, but I really enjoyed that stuff.
Owned that game multiple times. I never get far in it. And that's like totally my type of game. I don't know what my deal is with that game.
I don't know either.
Pretty good what I have played of it. I have it on the Switch. I somehow spent $30 on that fucker.
Well, this is a good entries this year into the Hall of Fame. We'll be doing it again in May or June. So, this is the end of 2021. Thank you all for joining us for another year.
What have we learned?
that people nominate some weird games like Stinko Man. What the
fuck and is COVID that? Sucks. Congratulations, COVID sucks. Everyone.
I feel like
COVID
we learned sucks. Nothing.
I feel like we earned everything and we're just not implementing it.
I've learned that like lots of people don't, they've just given up. They don't care anymore.
And it's hard not to agree with them. Not that I'm saying I'm giving up, but it's hard to be like, I've talked with friends and I talked with coworkers. I'm like, yeah, like, you know, like before we had something to wait for. We're gonna get this under control. That didn't happen. We got the vaccines coming. Okay, the vaccines are here. I'm vaccinated. I'm boosted. What am I waiting for now? And it's not like I'm gonna continue doing the
2023.
But it's like, yeah, now we're just waiting for idiots to get on board, because like I've seen people like, oh, you know, like, you know, people are vaccinated and they're getting it. I'm like, yes, it's because, well, one, it's not, the vaccine's never going to prevent you from getting it, full stop. But it's also because a good portion of people aren't vaccinated. So it's able to do its thing and just kind of like, yeah, we're going to change our outfit and look like a new girl trying to sneak into the party because you idiots are letting them have a host to kind of figure out what's going on. Like, why aren't we getting into these other parties? Oh, I know why. We can do it now. So.
Yep.
I'm not pissed off at people not getting vaccinated.
I just,
after it's been available free.
You know, I recommend giving up all hope and all. Yeah, basically all hope, and just give in and accept.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Well, that's cheery.
There's a certain freedom in it. It's nice. I like it over here.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah. I don't know what our plan is for next week. We may do a movie commentary. If not, I will put together a music episode of.
I didn't see what anyone said, but I am still totally down to watch Miami Connection with you guys.
We could certainly
just try to hear like someone like Tony absorb this movie in real time.
What the hell is Miami Connection and why am I watching it? That's probably my commentary.
It's a movie made by a Taekwondo master from Florida who apparently got enough money to make a movie somehow.
And probably so
that may be on tap. I'm still trying to kind of conceptualize how we can do your concern about the audio, Jeff, is my concern as well. I'm not sure.
Well, we're able, like, if I could watch it on my laptop and then we could record it that way somehow and get the audio going through both
into your headphones. Yeah, just like game audio, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I honestly do not know.
Yeah, one of these things. Figure that out.
What I because I mean, like, streaming on Discord is not an issue. The issue I was wondering is like if one person streamed and we were watching the Discords, because I mean, I have a dual monitor setup when I watch movies with friends on Discord, but I don't know if like the movie's audio would also come through.
But here's the other question: is like, does Tubi have a website where I can watch it? Because that's what it's on.
Yes. Yeah,
Tubi, you can watch it on a website.
Tubi, yeah. Okay. I think it's Tubi.tv.
Yeah. Yep. Tubi's great.
We all have access to Tubi, so like, you know.
The one thing I will say about Tubi, if you want to watch something with people, is that the ad breaks are not uniformed.
Oh, no.
They won't happen at the same time?
Yes.
Really?
They won't happen at the same time. For the most part. They won't happen at the same time, and they might not be the same duration.
What we need to do is find a way to stream somebody's.
We're all watching the same stream.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Is like, you could do it via Discord. That's not a problem. The problem I was thinking of is like, for instance, if I want to stream something right now on Discord, would then my audio come through while I'm streaming it?
Right. So what I could do is. If we figure out how, like, if you show me how to do that, where I can stream the video, I could set up a secondary Discord.
Let me see this.
Oh.
That's what it looks like. The full movie is on YouTube as well. But whatever, I'll let you guys figure out that part of it.
Okay, that I'm in.
So the real question is, to be or not to be?
I am so in. Like, I want to watch that movie with other people. My girlfriend is just not a person to watch bad movies with because she's just like, yeah, that's bad.
Oh, there's turtles.
Okay, so you did hear that.
Yes.
Okay, and so then that answers my question. You do hear it if somebody's streaming it, which would make sense because I think that's why the host tends to mute their audio.
I mean, it almost would be okay to mix in the audio of the movie. It might be an interesting way for someone to watch it.
The problem would be not necessarily
or to mix to listen to it. Like
the problem wouldn't be the mixing. It's then that it's like you can't like stop it. It will just have the audio over everything.
Yeah.
So to your point, I think the idea of like if you had the clips stuff, that's fine. The problem is finding something where it's not always talking over everything.
I think I have an idea on how to do it. Let me think about it. We'll come back.
Wizards figure this one out. But I mean, if so in, I don't give a shit. I'm fucking in.
I mean, the other option would be like if we had this record and then we like played it on Zoom or something like that. But I don't know which bandwidth that takes up.
Right.
But we will figure that out. Gentlemen, have a happy, merry Christmas, and I will speak to you next week.
It's Jeff, say good night.
Good night.